You're listening to Samuel Emerson, pastor at Cloverdale Church.
Makes the way for us to be able to live in a place of forgiveness. And it's not a what you have to do, it's what you get to do. Jesus is all about, this is one of the keys, if you will, to the greatest life ever, to an abundant life. If you can stay in a place of constant forgiveness, constant and continual, and that even when you already have forgiven someone, if we're going to give you some tester areas where you can check your heart, that you might have to forgive again. Because very often, and it depends on how harsh or how brutal the very thing that has happened to you has wounded you, and it can wound other people deeper in certain areas than other people. Some people are naturally, emotionally more able to overcome certain things. But if unless you are dealing with it, it can cause so much pain in your life. And so when you're coming into a relationship, you're coming in with all of your unforgiveness and all of the things that the wounds that people have done against you, right? And it's amazing. Just even thinking about processing what this series would look like and knowing that I felt that God wanted me to speak on forgiveness. And we've got a really special person we're going to interview tonight. And we're going to have some enjoyable, painful fun together. Does that sound good? Be kind of like, you know, it's the kind of ride where you go on where you're going to get wet. You're going to get splashed. It's going to get awkward sometimes. And probably because of your friend's tears right beside you. No. We'll try to keep it. I'll try to keep it straight up because I know a lot of people like shut it down, but I'm going to try to make it as simple as possible. I'm going to give you seven things the Bible says forgiveness is and forgiveness isn't to make it really simple so that you can walk away from this. You can process it well with other people. You don't have to be just a wreck right in front of everybody and be like, I don't want to do this right now. Just that you can just handle this really well. But in relationship, I was thinking, when me and Maddie started a relationship, I brought in all my things and she brought in all her things. And I mean, I remember one time she let the door hit me. I had opened it for her rather. And then because we had our hands full and we were carrying things in, she kind of let the door hit me. And I remember feeling so offended. When I was younger, and I'll just tell you a little story. When I was younger, I had a little bit of a problem with doors, in particular big doors in schools. And I actually split my head open on a door because somebody let the door hit me. It's like one of those big heavy doors. You're like, you're a wuss. Maybe. But apparently it hurt a lot and I had to get stitches. And so I was telling my kids the story the other day and I remember that it was something that was a big deal for me, that if I was opening the door for someone, which is a great thing to do, it never is old, just so you know, guys, opening the door for the girl is great. But if you put it down, if you need to bring in stuff, or whether it was grocery bags, I don't even remember the exact details. I just remember the door kind of hitting me and I was like, hey, it's like, what's up? But here's the thing, that triggered something that most of you would be like, you're not emotionally relating to me at all. You're like, what are you talking about? You're retarded. That's because that was my pain, not yours. Does that make sense? So I'm intentionally giving you something that you're just like, yeah, stupid. But that you would hear it as, well, there are things in relationship that you'll come out with or be offended at that other people would look at you and go, are you crazy? This guy loves you. Like, but he hurt me. He picked the wrong movie. You don't know how many times that comes up in like premarriage counseling. Just saying. Big offenses come with wrong movie choices. So you just got to ask questions, you know. Do you hear where I'm kind of going here? This is going to be something very fundamental, and it's that which God didn't leave us with. Our own understanding. He gave us the perfect understanding. And so on the cross, Jesus took on all of our sin, everything that he did not do, nor offend, nor cause anybody pain. He took all of that pain on himself, and he provides the perfect, sure, and only way to have the wrongs that have been done against you and the wrongs that you have done against others completely satisfied as if you have never done it when you give it all to him. He absorbs it all in himself. And the picture of the cross and the picture of Jesus being absolutely a bloody, beaten mess is what you need to have an understanding in order to see forgiveness the way that you can walk away from it in a way that you'll be free. So that you can rightly do relationships. And I'm just telling you, there is a reality of what usually causes big pain in relationship. And what usually is okay for a moment, it'll come out eventually. And it'll maybe come out 10 years into your relationship, but the feelings and bitterness and the pain, it does come out eventually. There's no way to just stuff it. It's kind of like stuffing those little, anyways, I'm not going to. That game that you used to play where those little chipmunks came up and you're like, doo, doo, doo. Never played. You guys don't play those games anymore. You only like play video games. Doo, 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 doo. Like Duck Hunt. Anyways. So you're like, what? That's for the people here that played Nintendo. Anyways. Come on. Yeah. Ryan, you're too young for that. You didn't play Nintendo. Stop that. Okay. I'm just saying. So here we go. I'm going to read something here. Just mind-bending, mind-blowing, and then we will, I'm going to roll out with what I have for tonight. So Matthew 18, you guys can check out the rest of the story on your own. I'm going to give you a brief little moment in it. Matthew 18, 21. Peter in this story, in this actual like historical account, is coming to Jesus in a place of like, you know when you're feeling like you're doing really good in life? And you kind of have that like happy skip. Like, I'm going to ask a question that's really going to make me look real good. You ever been there? When you're like, I'm just going to ask this question to the class that's just going to make everyone go, you are so smart. Or I'm going to ask this question right now so that somebody is really impressed that I even know something about something. That's what Peter's doing right now. And here's what Peter does. He comes skipping up to Jesus. My paraphrase, but I'm going to read the actual. It says in verse 21, then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, speaking to Jesus, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? So he goes, how often? And he's saying this around other people. Everyone's listening. As many as seven times? Now that's a lot, right? Now, if you're thinking about relationship, if somebody, we're talking about big pain, big offenses. If somebody did something to you seven times in a row, that's a lot if you're forgiven that many times, right? You're like after two, you're like, wait a minute. How come this happened again? Then three, you're like, hey! You slowly start, like, I'm ending this friendship. So Peter says that to Jesus, and Jesus says this. I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. Seriously? Now, numbers are a big deal in the Bible. And what Jesus is saying here, he's not giving you a definitive number. He's taking Peter's number and then going, it's way bigger than that, buddy. It's till the day you die. The number seven is perfect and complete. And so he takes the number 70, perfect, complete, 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 right? And if you take 10, that's also a complete number in the Bible. And so anyway, so you take those together. That's a big one, times seven. So Peter gets the greatest answer ever, something mind-bending that Jesus says, no, you've got to forgive and keep on forgiving. And on the cross, Jesus demonstrates it the best, that when he's on the cross and people are hurling insults at him, not just physically beating him, they're emotionally assaulting him. They are hurting him violently with their rhetoric. They are destroying him with their words. They are trying to offend him, cause him pain, and that rhetoric means words. And they're trying, they're like, oh, I get it. Wow. There we go. Excellent. So, but they are trying to offend Jesus. And on the cross, like on the cross, when I'm in pain, throwing up or being sick, all of those kind of things, or in a little bit of pain, even though like a little hangnail, I'm not in the mood to forgive anybody. On the cross, Jesus is being crucified and he says to Father, forgive them for they don't know what they're doing. And he forgives on the cross. He forgives on the worst day, on the most pain that he's ever experienced, and he keeps on forgiving. Keeps on forgiving. And the reality of what Jesus lays out is a continual, constant forgiveness. It's a state of your heart. That you don't have a number. Well, I've done that seven times, and now this buddy's done. Now it's time to smack him. You know? It's a continual and constant. And then Jesus goes into a story. And I remember, I grew up in a Christian school, and so in Christian school, they have a thing called plays. Okay? I know you guys have plays too, but all our plays were on the Bible. And so we got to literally act out Bible plays. And I remember feeling so cool because one day I got to act out the rebellious cool guy. And if you grew up in Christian school, if you get to pretend to be a rebellious cool guy, thank you, you're just like, I'm eating this up. So I remember I got the coolest possible sunglasses I could get. And I'm in grade 6. And I'm just like, boom, we're so excited. And it was a K-12 school. So literally, you're in grade 6 and you're always bumping in shoulders with grade 12s. And you're thinking like, man, these guys drive. They're the coolest ever. Even when they throw you in a garbage can, you're like, you're awesome. And they're like, I'm sorry, it was probably me. You know. And so you're in this place of just constantly looking up to these guys. And I remember our teacher announced to us in the class, said, You're gonna do a play, and you're gonna actually perform it before you do the parents and the audience on the actual play night. You're gonna do it to the high school classes, and we're like, yeah, thinking this is so good. And I remember we killed this play. We enacted the story I'm about to tell you, and we just killed it. We had so much fun, and I got to put on my cool sunglasses that I had bought with my mom specifically for this play, and they were the coolest ones I could possibly find, or rather, probably that my mom could afford. And so, I thought they were awesome. They had the little like colored tint shade, and they were like hot orange / lime green.
Woo!
Yeah.
And they had a brand name on it called Bugs, and I was like, and that's important in a minute. And I remember feeling so awesome. And I remember walking off that stage, and after people like did their grade 12 people, I'm too cool for this, so I'm just going to kind of give you a little clap after we finish the play. I remember walking off the stage, and two of the guys that I honestly probably even to this day need to forgive continually because of all the pain they caused me. But they, as I'm walking along, and they were the older kids, they're like, nice sunglasses, loser. What's Bugs? And they're like, and I'm like, oh no, I was like, what do I do with my little world? Little tears were starting to come down my cheeks, and I was like, loser. And I never wore those sunglasses again. And now they're like, they'd be cool now. People would be like, yeah, Bugs, what's up? and so it was that kind of moment where we're like, ah, my world. And you know what's so funny? And I didn't figure this out till later on in life. The very play that I was enacting comes right after this verse. And it's a story, and the story goes like this. There was a king in a faraway country, in a faraway land, and in his kingdom, this is literally in the Bible, in his kingdom, and I am paraphrasing, just in case you're like, that word is not in the Bible. Okay, you can check it out for yourself, but I'm going to paraphrase for a minute. Is there's a king in a kingdom, and one of his servants owed him 10,000 talents. We're talking millions of dollars. Okay? He owed him that. And he comes in, and in that day, it was like the dungeon, the you're going to go in there, you're going to spend the rest of your life until you pay it off, and we're going to take your family as our slaves and all those kind of things. And the Bible says that he throws himself, Jesus is telling this story, he throws himself at the king and pleads for mercy, and the king, out of compassion, looks at him and forgives him and says, you know what? You don't even have to pay me a penny. I'm going to forgive you the whole thing. This guy is so ecstatic. That'd be like your credit cards getting all paid off, everything being paid off, and me even being set for life, because he would have had his continual standing in that time. And so he's running out really excited. But as we all seem to do, that when certain things go our way or we get a smoking deal, we want to get another deal. Okay? And so if you ever get a deal on something, I just got a really good deal on headphones, and I was really excited, and then it made me want to kind of spend more money. I was like, so I saved $100, and now I have $100 that I would have spent, and then you get all weird in your head. But anyway, so this guy runs out to somebody that owed him like $100, and he runs out there, and he grabs him by the throat, and this was the guy that I got to play, so in high school, grabs him by the throat, and he shakes at him, and he goes, give me my $100, and if you don't give me my $100 right now, I'm going to throw you in jail for $100. This guy was forgiven millions. And for $100, he's like, I'm going to throw you in jail. Anyways, whatever you do in life, there's always eyes. And in this story, people went and told the king, hey, you know that guy that you just forgave all that money? He just jacked up somebody else in our little kingdom. And the king sent for this guy and said, you wicked, evil servant. I forgave you way more. And now you're not even going to respond out of a place of the forgiven. You're not even going to respond and leave alone that which you, like, leave alone the debt, the small debt this person owes. And the king says, because you've acted so wickedly, I'm throwing you in prison now. You're not getting this forgiveness, and you are going to pay it off. Your family's going to have to pay it off. Until you pay every last penny, you're not getting out of this jail. And Jesus throws a whole bunch of things in that story. And one of the invitations slash warnings is, unless you forgive, because Jesus has forgiven us way more, that's the same way that you'll be treated, because you're acting contrary to what you have received. Jesus isn't saying forgive and then if you forgive, I'll forgive you. Jesus is saying, I forgive you, now forgive out of the place of being a forgiven, free person. And there's something so powerful about this guy having to go into prison, because that's what we end up doing with ourselves. The ironic part is, when we hold on to the very things that have been done against us, we end up binding ourselves. Not like Jesus literally takes you and drops you into a prison the moment you didn't forgive. But rather, there is a constant chaining yourself to that event or that person or all of the cumulative pain that you have, all of this forgiveness that turns into bitterness, that turns into roots, that overtakes your whole life and you become rock hard. So here's what we're going to do. I just want to pray just for a moment, and I'm just going to give you a couple, seven small points on what forgiveness is and what it isn't. So Jesus, I thank you for tonight. God, and I thank you that you're just opening something up for us tonight that is a reality of your heart. And I pray that you would speak powerfully to us, that you would encourage our hearts, and that we'd rightly see the life that you have given us, that we'd rightly see that we have the freedom to forgive because you have forgiven us so much. And I pray that tonight that we would all receive your forgiveness first, and out of that place, we would forgive others. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So that's in Matthew 18. If you want to check out that story after what Jesus is saying there and read his words, which are better than my words, but my words were tied to a play. So that's why I told you my words. So here we go. This will be really short, and then I've got a special guest we're going to interview. So what you need to know going into the reality of forgiveness is not, it's not diminishing or denying something. It's not saying, hey, buddy, if you're forgiving a guy or a girl or a person or an entire planet, okay? You're not actually saying what you did is not a big deal. No big D. We're okay. We're cool. What you're saying in forgiving is actually judging someone to a point. Do you hear this? One of the scriptures that most people know, Christian or non-Christian, is a scripture that says, thou shalt not judge. And most people that are not Christian continue to use thou shalt not judge as if the Bible still uses those words. But anyways, that's a whole nother story. The thou shalt not judge is on the tip of their tongue when it comes to a lot of things in their lives. That when Jesus actually says that in order to forgive, you need to judge to a degree. You need to say, that hurts and that's wrong. Because otherwise, then you don't need to forgive. Does that make sense? So I'm putting on our little intelligent hats tonight. I want you to think this through. You don't have to emotionally go anywhere with me right now. You can just think through what forgiveness is and what it isn't. When you are forgiving as a Christian, you are not saying it's okay. You are saying what you have done to me, what you have said about me, the pain that you have caused is so bad, I can't have it myself. I've got to give it to Jesus and let him absorb it all on the cross. It's so bad, Jesus had to die for it. That's what forgiveness is actually saying. Forgiveness is not waiting for an apology. Forgiveness is not waiting till someone says sorry. And the moment they say sorry, you're in. Forgiveness is giving Jesus access to your heart and your life before anybody says sorry. Forgiveness is you doing business with God saying, I need, this hurts, this is painful, I need something to shift in my life. And in relationships, when you are wounded and hurt, you need to go to God first before you go to them. You need to already forgive them before you go to them. Because if you're trying to work something out and you're already super mad and you're going to get your point across, it's not going to go well for you. Just saying, you might have to be like, oh, I'll see. Go ahead. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Here's something really funny. There's a strange thing that preachers preach sometimes, that Jesus forgets our sins. The Bible does say that he casts our sins far as the east is in the west, but if you think for a minute that God, the smartest possible being in the creator of the universe, that he forgets something, you got another thing coming. God doesn't forget your sins. He actually chooses not to interact with you based on your sins. And that's way more powerful. See, I used to honestly think if I quickly just throw up a, hey, God, will you forgive me? that he actually just kind of like, the next time I came to him and asked him forgiveness for the same thing, it would be okay because he wouldn't remember anyways. He'd be like, dude, you did that. Like, you did that? Instead of, I'm not forgiving you this time. You did that the second time. You're done. You know, there was a strange play on my heart, in my mind. But how much more powerful is the message that Jesus has for us, that he looks at everything that we've ever done and goes, I love you, and goes through that. So forgiveness on our end isn't forgetting. When someone super wounds you, it's really hard to forget. Now, some people miraculously do forget. And that might be the greatest gift God's ever given, is that we have, somehow psychologically, we have this ability to sometimes do that. Psychologists have a whole bunch of fun words for it, which I'm not going to get into because you didn't even know what rhetoric was. So, but I will say this, that's a really cool gift, but not everybody has it. Like, you notice even telling that story about the bug glasses, I was like, I was getting a little emotional. I was like, wait a minute, that did hurt. And I'm seeing their faces in my head as I was telling the story. And so it's not actually forgetting. It's choosing not to interact with someone based on the wrongs they've done against you. And how freeing is that? That you could actually confess your sin to someone even in like this place. And if we were to act Christian and godly, we are not to hold you to that standard of your failure, but hold you to the standard, the reconciled standard, if you will, of being forgiven. And not interact with you based on your failings or your past, but interact with you based on forgiveness. Hurling it away. Okay? So forgiveness does not take away pain, but forgiveness makes healing possible. You can still feel hurt at times. Even thinking about something, you're like, God, I thought I already asked for forgiveness. You can still feel hurt, and you can go to him again. It's a relationship, and it's constant movement towards him and his heart. Because the more you see Jesus, the more you have the right ability to be in relationship. Forgiveness is not a one-time event. It's continual and constant. I'll just leave that alone. The movement. Okay? Forgiveness is not overlooking the law. Just straight up, it's not in your power. If somebody's done something that is against the law, you forgiving them doesn't mean you not calling the cops. Does that make sense? I've had just about every area of my life broken into, including my home, while my family was home, by people breaking in and stealing things. And at no point am I holding unforgiveness in my heart towards them. I did at the time. I ran a stop sign trying to get home when Maddie was like, they're in the house right now. And I was riding a minivan at that time, super slow. You know, and it's like, I had to work out forgiveness for a long time because I was like, as soon as I find those guys, they're done. Like, you see, just show me their face. I'm gonna introduce them to the fivefold ministry of my fists. And I'll probably leave them alive because killing would be wrong, but punching them would feel great. So, there was something in my heart that I had to forgive. But there's nothing in me that didn't want the cops to be called. And there's nothing in me that didn't, like, you have to call the cops. It's against the law to break into somebody's house, especially in their home. So it just doesn't go so well for them. So the actual, and true story, they did get caught. And actually, the person that broke into my home was the number one car thief in BC. So you can be assured he's in bars right now because he broke into a home live, into actual home, so they could charge him for more than just B&E, but home invasion. Boom. Clank. I like the story. It's a great story. I'm like, thanks, God. But you know what? You know what? I have to wonder if he would have been caught if I didn't forgive, if Maddie didn't forgive. That was like Maddie's worst fear. And she actually was home with the kids, and it's a crazy story. And actually, she feels closer and safer in Jesus' loving care because she was completely protected in that moment. And she found her relationship with Jesus get accelerated through one of the worst, most fearful kind of crazy events ever experienced in her life. So that's something there. But so forgiveness is, you actually do. If you're sexually abused, straight up, you gotta call the cops, okay? You gotta let authorities know. You can't just go, well, I just want to say that this happened, and I'll just be the bigger person and let it go. No, like if it's chargeable, you gotta actually, that's part of it. But you can still forgive, set them free from you. And the last thing about this is forgiveness is not instant reconciliation. It's not instant trust. It's not like when you forgive, you're buddies now. Okay, that's a big one. That people feel like, well, if I forgive, does that mean I have to go back and hang out their house? If I forgive, does that mean we have to trust each other again? No, trust is built slowly, broken very fast. And so actually, in order to reconcile well, it takes one person to forgive, and it takes one person to ask for forgiveness, but it actually takes two people to reconcile. And if they're a danger, or they've caused insane amounts of pain, or all of these kind of things, it doesn't mean that you have to have the same level of relationship that you've had before. You can have a different level of relationship, because they kind of changed it on you. Okay, they changed the game, they're playing a whole new board game, it's not Ticket to Ride, it's clank, 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 clank. You know, I thought that was a good game, apparently not. Nobody knows what that game is. Anyways, so, no, apparently not. There's not a consensus here. So, that's, does that make sense? Here's what forgiveness is and what it isn't. And one of the biggest helpers for me was that forgiveness isn't saying it's okay. If I can give you the one that in my process in life and all the things that I've had to work on in forgiveness and all those kind of things, it's that I wasn't actually saying it was okay. That rather I was saying, Jesus, you deal with this. Because honestly, when I was having to deal with, in particular, just this one story since I brought it up, my home getting broken into, I was like, man, I'm like, that's not happy. And I was like, I was not happy with that at all. And it was very painful to me, the damage that could have been done and all of this kind of stuff. And even having to forgive the fact that I wasn't home and I wasn't protecting and I wasn't in the fight or all of those kind of things. So there is a reality that plays on your heart. And one that was most helpful was that I actually wasn't voicing that it's okay. And that might be helpful for you. That this was a reasonable, conscious, I'm actually going to give it to Jesus. Because guess what? You don't know what Jesus is going to do in their life. Man, I've hurt people in my life very badly. I've hurt people in my life. And you know what would be funny? Not funny, but painful is if they never forgave me. And even after all these years, I became a pastor and had a heart change in certain areas. And all of this kind of stuff happened in my life. If they held me to the standard of what I used to be back then. Man, that wouldn't that be awkward? See, we need to trust Jesus because he has a plan for our lives. Jennifer wrote a great song about Jesus has a plan. And when we sing it, we're saying we trust in your plan, not on our understanding of the plan. And so we don't know. And really, looking at Jesus' forgiveness and his love, when you get to see Jesus face to face, Jesus still has his scars, the Bible says. That you will see the scars that paid for your life, that paid for your forgiveness. And when you see Jesus, you will, face to face, you will truthfully want everybody to know the forgiveness and love that you yourself have received. And so Jesus gives us an opportunity to do it before we see him face to face. Because truthfully, none of us want people to suffer in a unmerciful way. Even the worst of things that have happened to people, there's still an element of, oh, but I don't want them to die. Sometimes there is that moment, but we need to give them to Jesus. We need to give the relationship to Jesus, and we need to trust that he has a plan. And what's so exciting is that Jesus is the ultimate judge. Isn't that fun? You don't have to be the judge. You don't have to be the judge. You can obey the law that if it was a crime, you can have the police involved. You can tell the proper authorities. But you don't have to be the judge. Jesus is the judge, and he's going to judge all of us. And that's a very safe place because he is absolutely loving, absolutely gracious. And so he has called us to forgive as we have been forgiven. And part of the problem is we often feel that the wrong that's been done against us, that our wrongs with Jesus aren't that bad. And so first we need to deal with that with Jesus in the area of how bad is my sin? And understand that in order to rightly understand. It's not like a first 1 + 1 = You can still forgive whether you know your sin is bad or not. But you do have to understand that Jesus calls you to a higher standard, that what you have been forgiven from is far greater than anything, and I'm talking even the most painful things, far greater than anything you have to forgive in this life. What Jesus has forgiven you from personally. And that's a hard one to understand sometimes, because sometimes we're walking along and we feel pretty good. But there's a whole different reality.
For more information, visit CloverdaleChurch.ca.